If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and this is the Electric Drum. Now, I got my man in the house, Darren Haynes, man. He's a local product, man, working at ESPN on the anchor desk, the whole nine, man. And we're going to talk more about that. But, hey, what's happening, my brother?
What's going on, Juan?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, absolutely, brother. You know, I mean,
I need your autograph.
Same here, brother.
I'm sitting next to you.
That's why you're telling my age, bro. But, yeah, man, so, you kind of grew up in Hamden, but then you also grew up in Woodbridge. Talk about your early years.
Well, obviously, I have a mother that thought education was very important, and so she felt like the school system in Woodbridge was really important. My mother's a teacher.
Okay.
So when you have a mother as a teacher, you can't go outside and play until you do your schoolwork. So schoolwork was number one. So I went to school, lived out in Woodbridge. But the thing about it, my mother, we still went to church in New Haven, Bethel AME.
Yeah, all right.
Reverend Justice, yeah. now you're showing your age.
Yeah, there you go.
With Reverend Justice, and you know, when it came down to all athletics, I still played hand and Pop Warner. I really didn't play any amity sports until high school started. But it worked out for me. It kind of almost put a melting pot of different cultures inside my head, where now as a grown man, I can adapt to, let's just say, this race and that race, because I've been around everything.
Right. I mean, it's important today. I mean, you know, I think that the world has changed, you know, despite fact that we got a long way to go. You know, definitely the world has changed and it's more diverse, you know, and especially in sports. And I think that, you know, with Jackie Robinson and, you know, and you know, Bill Russell and all of the pioneers in sports, you know, we've changed America, don't you think?
Well, most definitely, especially with Bill Russell. I mean, Bill Russell went through some things back when he used to play, especially outside the basketball court, because they cheered for him out on the court. But
yes,
when he left, it was like, oh, okay, you know, the mentality back then was a little bit different. But, you know, nowadays, I mean, we are the foundation, let's say, the African American. I mean, the culture is huge. If you listen to ESPN or when I'm anchoring SportsCenter, I mean, the hip-hop music that we have during our highlights, during our previews, but it's the foundation almost for everything. They love the hip hop music.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you said that, though. Yeah, but I mean, I think hip hop also helped with the diversity in the country. You know, because with hip hop, even though hip hop started in the Bronx, and I'm from Brooklyn, so I went through that whole phase where, you know, hip hop was underground, but hip hop was very inclusive of everyone. And if you look at hip hop today, right? I mean, it's international, right?
Correct.
And so, I mean, so some of the players and some of you announcers, kind of who grew up with hip hop and are still involved, you know, with pop culture, and hip hop is definitely a part of pop culture. It stands to reason why when you're listening to an ESPN, you know, you got a Wale, you know, and all of that coming on the air.
You have our Coast to Coast.
Yes.
And they have Christian rapper Lecrae, who does the
intro.
Wale did First Take.
Right.
So it's definitely our style has really is what's mainstream that surrounds sports and makes it really good. I mean, let's just be honest. You see some of the other SportsCenter anchors, they you know, when the dab was out, I feel it's been played out for about 2 years.
Yeah,
now.
Of course.
but you know, some of the anchors are doing it. But you have a guy like Bucci who's name dropping old school music from if it's like Tribe Called Quest.
Right.
And let's not talk about Stuart Scott. Stuart Scott brought literally the inner city to the mainstream, which was frowned upon at first.
Yes.
And he literally paved the way for people like myself. So now I can do a lead in on SportsCenter and be like, yo, Tom Brady's about to lose his job.
Right.
He's not going to lose his job.
Of course,
I'm just putting that
of
out
course.
There. But I can say yo, because every time I lived in, when I was in New Haven, first and last sentence, first beginning I started every sentence and ended every sentence with yo. That was what we used to do.
And I mean, and even when you watch all you cats do, Off the Chain and all of these, you know, these not slang, but I think that it's just language, right? Because people tend to look at it, well, it's slang. No, it's not slang. You know, language is always evolving.
Correct.
You know, and whatever the way we use language, you know, even though, you know, it might, and especially the English language, because the English language has a lot of words that, you know, sound the same but mean something different, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where America has taken English, right? Despite, you know, the fact that, you know, we got it from England. You know Correct. What I'm saying? You know,
I mean, we have the normal what's accepted inside the dictionary, but some of the words that we use come from different cultures, not just the African American culture. It could come from the Italian culture, and once it becomes mainstream and they realize, wow, a lot of people actually use this, it actually makes highlight better.
Right.
It's then accepted.
Right.
I remember when I went on air and I said on Fleek, I was like, because Anthony Davis's nickname is the Unibrow.
Yes.
And I was like, the Unibrow was on Fleek when he was balling.
Right.
And people were like, what? Then as on Fleek became more mainstream, they're like, keep using that. I love it. So that's the world that we live in. People were raised differently.
Right.
But like what ESPN is doing really well as far as in making everything diverse is when I sit in my Sports Center meetings, I have somebody who's Hispanic, I have somebody who's Black, I have somebody who's Caucasian, but it allows everybody to at least have a voice, because what someone may think is like, oh, I never heard of that before, is like what's trending in a different race. And when you have your viewers, not everybody is just one race. So it appeals to everybody.
This is Juan Castillo. This is Electric Drum. I'm speaking with my man Darren Haynes, man. He's an anchor man on ESPN, man. And you got to check him out. This brother is off the hook, man. Talking about language. Let's get back to the early days. So obviously, you know, English extremely important for what we do, right? Were you a good English student, or what was the deal?
Well, now that I graduated high school, I have a college degree, now I can put it out there that I hated to read.
Okay.
I could not stand reading.
Wow.
But I think about around my senior year of high school, I started to get into reading. But what I tell students all the time, I wish I got into reading at a very young age. I think my dictionary within my head, the words that I use will be so much deeper as far as in words that I use when I'm talking to people, if I was reading more when I was younger.
Right.
Reading is important. I can't stress that enough. I could not do my job if I did not know how to read and write. I just wish I took it up early. I hated to read. Now I love reading.
Now, you know,
knowledge is key.
Absolutely. You got involved with sports early, right?
Very early.
Oh, okay, yeah. Talk about that. Talk about your development as far as sports is concerned.
Well, obviously, like a little kid, you played soccer when you're younger, but I think football was the biggest foundation. My uncle Brack Portier and my father, they kind of got together and like, well, Darren, you want to try out football? And I was like, oh, all right, I'll go out and try it out. And the first day I was hit by somebody, and my dad was like, hey, do you still want to play? And I told my father, I was like, yeah, I want to play because I want to get that guy back.
Mm.
And my father was like, okay, now I got a ball player. But what that taught me was, hey, sometimes you're going to get knocked down.
In life.
And and you can get back up. Hand them Pop Warner. And a lot of people know, Leonard Jackson, Jihad. He, playing football, that gives you the foundation to know that you can overcome stuff. Allows you to teach you how to work hard. Teaches how to work as a team, and some of those tools that I learned right here in this city, I still use now. But football paved the way. That paid for college for me. That made me more credible in the sports world, because there's a lot of people who are reporters and anchors, and they never played the game.
Right.
I can build connections with particular NFL athletes because I played the game. I can speak their language.
Right.
I know what skeleton is when you just have no linemen and you're just messing with the passing game. Some reporters don't know.
Right.
I know what a post corner route is. I know when a free safety is lined over a tight end, probably the linebacker is about to blitz because the free safeties now has covers of the tight end. Read defenses.
So, what position did you play?
I was a running back.
You was a running back.
Played running back and defensive back at Amity High School.
Right, right.
But in college, I was a running back.
Right. So, what about your high school coach? How influential was he in your life?
Len Marazzi?
Yeah.
Butch, he was my athletic father figure. He still supports me still to this day. He has taught me how to be a man in many different ways. But just like any father, he will check up on you. He will tell you when you do wrong. And the thing I like about Coach Marazzi, he's always talking junk. He still to this day doesn't believe I'm on SportsCenter. When are you on? Coach, I'm on at 9 o'clock Eastern time on SportsCenter. No, I didn't see you. But you know that's just the way he is. He's a good guy, but he has meant a lot to my career.
Great, wonderful. So time for college, man. Mm-hmm. Right? Tell us about that experience.
Well, went to the University of Rhode Island, running back there, and then I transferred to the University of New Haven. And when I went to the University of New Haven, everything blew up very well. Became the starting running back. Things went so well. Darren Rizzi was the head coach at the time, and he told me, hey, we're an independent school. We can play D1 programs and beat them as well.
Right.
It was the best college experience I had football-wise. Also career, but if you can remember, they dropped the program.
Right.
It was January of 2004.
Exactly.
And that's when I was like, okay, what do I do? And some school, Wayne State University, came out of nowhere, and they're like, yeah, Wayne State, you want to come play for us? I'm like, Wayne State, who?
Right.
But they said they were in Detroit. Mm. And Detroit, Pistons, Lions, Tigers, Red Wings, that's a sports town.
Right.
So it'll be beneficial to my career.
So at what point during your college career were you thinking about after college? I mean, we all think about the NFL, but were you thinking about maybe what were you going to do different besides sports?
I was always focused that what's funny, a lot of people don't know, is when I went to URI, I was a biology major. I'm a science nerd.
Okay.
Chemistry, C6H12O6.
Nice. Glucose,
but I wanted to be a teacher, just like my mother. When I went to the University of New Haven, they didn't have an undergraduate education program at the time. So my mother was like, hey, you know, you have your own radio show. You love sports. Why don't you get into sports broadcasting? Ding! I switched my major up. Now she wants 10% of my check. But ever since I made that switch, when you're passionate about something, it doesn't matter how many times you do it, how much effort you put into it. You love doing it. And I love the broadcasting world. We had our own UNH Cribs I hosted, Politically Incorrect, another show I hosted. So I love doing it. I was passionate about it. So college, it was like I knew where I wanted to go. I don't remember the day where I was like, I want to work for SportsCenter. But at one point, that became my main goal. Mm-hmm. And I'm a determined individual. And when I have a focus on where I want to go, nobody's gonna tell me I can't do it. I had a guy at a jewelry store in Michigan, and I'm not going to say the name of the jewelry store because they may give me an endorsement deal one day. But when I decided to put my two weeks in to leave the jewelry business to enter the broadcasting business when I was still in school or about to finish school, he asked me, why are you leaving the jewelry business? The broadcasting business is too difficult. You'll never make it.
Mm.
I remember that like it was yesterday.
Wow.
You can never, don't ever tell somebody that they can't accomplish something. And what it does for me, if you remember the old Back to the Future movies, where they'll call him a chicken, and that will literally spark something in him. And was it Marty McFly?
Can't remember. Marty McFly. Yeah, absolutely.
So when someone tells me that I can't accomplish something, oh no. You just open the floodgates for me to just work even harder.
But what's interesting about what you just said is, you know, people are always asking me, you know, especially in our business, everybody could do it, right? You know, like, you know, most people's like, they might not be able to play ball in the NBA, but, oh, I can get on the radio or I can get on ESPN, right? You know,
it's not that easy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that easy at all.
And that's my point. Right? But by the same token, though, right, you know, along with that, that dude telling you, hey, you know, what are you doing, right? You know, there's also the fact that people also need to be told and need to be able to understand what they're up against.
Correct.
Because if you think that is easy, because you think that it's just natural talent and most of us have, right, to be able to do it, right, then you're going to fail.
Let me tell you this, Juan. Working at ESPN,
yes,
we need to know every single sport, period, from everything from the NFL all the way down to cricket.
Mm.
And what they will tell me, I'm a diehard UConn basketball fan. Somewhere out there, there is a diehard, I'm trying to think of some small community college in Idaho. But there's some diehard Idaho community college fans, if that even exists.
Right.
So when we have to deliver a highlight, we have to be knowledgeable about that team the same way I'm knowledgeable about my team, the UConn Huskies. So I have to study my butt off. I can't go on SportsCenter and not know what I'm talking about. I'll lose credibility. It'll take me off the air.
Right.
And one of the things that when people are like, oh, I can just be on TV, it's one thing. You have to be comfortable on a mic. There's so many people who are like, I can do it. And then they have the mic in their hand and they're shaking and sweating.
Right.
But at the same time, knowledge is key. If you don't know about every sport, because I have a lot of people I mentor, and they're like, oh, I love sports. And then I'm like, okay, who's Nikita Kucherov?
Right.
I don't know. You have to know your hockey too.
Right.
I made it one. I remember I had a segment. Well, I was a few sports centers and we had Barry Melrose, our hockey analyst, on. And as the Stanley Cup playoffs were going on, I was like, dang, I'm not getting any hockey segments. And I was just wondering, I'm like, I wonder if they think that I just don't like hockey.
Mm.
I like hockey, but you can understand as a black man, it's not trending in the African-American community.
Right.
So I decided I'm going to be the black guy who knew hockey. I copied and pasted every single hockey name on YouTube to make sure I pronounce it correctly, every single team, what division they're in, to make sure that I was a black guy who knew hockey. And if you watch me on SportsCenter, Barry Melrose is on, the hockey segment is mine.
This is Juan Castillo. I'm speaking with my man, Darren Haynes, man. The brother is on SportsCenter here on ESPN. He's a local cat, man. Went to Amity, grew up in Hamden and grew up in Woodbridge. And we are so proud of you, brother. You know, definitely, you know, one of our own. Now, the path to ESPN. Okay, so we're in college now, right? Okay. So you're Wayne State, right? Take me through that.
Okay, I can take you through there. So I told you that I knew where I wanted to go, but my dream was to play in the NFL. So now I have two dreams here. One of them got to go. And what actually happened was there was a running back by the name of Chris Middlebrooks. And then also Joyke Bell, who still plays for the Lions to this day. For the first time ever in my life, someone took my position.
Wow.
Usually I'm the person taking your position, but this guy took my position. But maybe it was the grace of God, because it put me in a spot mentally where I was like, okay, let me start focusing on my long-term career. And I can remember how passionate I was about football, and I still love it. But I left maybe about 10 minutes, 15 minutes early from practice because I wanted to make the class on time. Usually we'll show up to class a little late because we wanted to stay at practice.
Right.
So it was like that transition period was going on. And as soon as I finished my college career, about a month later, a guy by the name of Rob Parker in Detroit, Michigan, he actually gave me his number. There was a radio station I interned out in Detroit. And AJ Parker was like, you got to meet Rob Parker. I was like, oh, okay. Got his number, and I never called it until I sat down from coming out. I came here for Christmas break, and I went back to Detroit. I sat down. I saw Rob Parker had his own TV show, and I was like, I need to call this guy. And he gave me a job literally a month after I finished my college career.
Wow.
But then, and this is where a lot of people don't know how our career goes, you don't just get on TV right away. I mean, you can get a TV job, but you don't get to SportsCenter right away. I had to go from Rob Parker to then his show called Sports Rap to Lansing, Michigan as a reporter, where I knew I needed anchoring experience. So then I went to small market 208 Alpena, Michigan, which is in upstate Michigan, almost near the UP, they call it. And there were only two black people there. It was myself and some other guy I'm still trying to find. To leaving Alpena, Michigan, to going to Harlingen, Texas, on the Mexico border, to San Antonio, Texas, to Boston, Massachusetts, to then a short stint in with Al Jazeera when they were still around, yes. Al Jazeera America in yeah. New York before getting the Sports Center. It's a long journey. But the thing about it, I knew where I wanted to go. It didn't matter if I was in this weird place in Alpena, Michigan. Matter of fact, I have some great friends out there now. But I knew where I was trying to go. It doesn't matter if it was 110 degrees out in the Rio Grande Valley in Texas. I wore a suit when I was outside. People thought I was crazy. But I told them, I was like, if you watch SportsCenter, those guys are wearing suits out there in the field no matter where they are. If I want to get there, I might as well get myself prepared to be there. Mm. So that's why I wore suits.
So that was the beginning of the gear. Hey, brother, you put it down, man.
I gotta say, focus. When I mentor people all the time, I know everybody has a goal, everybody has a dream, but you got to put some hard work into it. There's that old saying: it takes money to make money. Maybe it just takes effort to get to where you want to be.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because see, in my generation, it was all about dressing. So in high school, it was all about, you know, tailor-made this, tailor-made that. This is my generation, mm-hmm. right? Then hip-hop came, right?
So you're trying to say our cross colors and stuff we used to wear was...
Oh, man.
You weren't feeling that one?
I was feeling it, but what I'm saying is that, you know, it took the NBA, mm-hmm. right, and other sports, you know, organizations to start mandating... that guys wear suits. Oh,
like how Allen Iverson ruined that. Yeah, he wanted to wear just hip-hop clothing.
Well, tell me, what do you think about that?
I had some good coaches
yes.
in my career, and I used to wear earrings. And when I went into a professional atmosphere where I had to wear my suit, mm-hmm. we had to take our earrings off.
Wow.
But we couldn't wear our earrings inside the locker room. But that was just a small thing. I have no problem with earrings. But it was a small thing to teach us that, hey, what you wear when it's a professional, when you're at work, where people can see you working. Because I can wear earrings. I can wear whatever I want when I'm not on air. When I go on air, I better have that suit on. I better be right. suited and booted.
Right.
So when you have a guy like Allen Iverson or any other particular athlete, if they're just wearing stuff and just looking sloppy, that's not professional. What professional is when you put on that suit and you look clean. Like you're focused and you're going somewhere.
Mm.
And the NBA, they know this little kid's watching them every single day. So what do you want? What image do you want to put out there?
Mm.
That you can just wear anything and look sloppy? Or do you want to put the image out there? Because if I'm looking at some of the old photos of Martin Luther King, he was wearing a suit in about 90% of those
That's
pictures.
Right. That's right.
So let's wear a suit as well. Let's look clean. Let's look presentable. Let's look like we're all about business because it is, and the NBA is a business.
You know, I'm an ex-offender, so you know, I counsel cats that are coming out of the joint, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, we talk about, you know, how do you get a job, right? Now, the bottom line is that, you know, when I went for my first job, you know, like I had a briefcase with nothing in it,
mm-hmm.
suited down, so. Number one, when the cat was interviewing me, it was like, okay, you know, he didn't view me as the next offender just because of the way I was dressed.
The first impression is a lasting impression. I remember getting my first job at Taco Bell. It's now Liberty Bank
okay.
down on the Woodbridge New Haven line. But I showed up there in a suit. I mean, how many people show up to Taco Bell to get an interview in a suit? But... first impression is a lasting impression.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to get yourself in the position. I'm sure you tell these kids who are in and out of the prison all the time. If you can get yourself to sit down with this person who's doing the hiring and the firing, you can talk. You can prove that, hey, I'm focused. I can do this. But a lot of times when that first impression is bad, they don't want to hear you. They don't want to see you. They already judge you.
Absolutely. So. While we're on the clothes, right? So, is mom's still involved with getting your clothes straight? Or, I mean, where did you get your fashion style from, bro?
When it comes to regular clothing, I'm horrible. But I kind of have to copy it. I Google stuff. I'll literally Google blue shirt, men's fashion.
Mm.
And I look through the photos. I'm like, oh, I like that. And that's how I pick something out. Suits, I'm good. I don't know where I get the suit style from. Mm. Because my dad is like, so-so.
Yeah, right.
But you know, you pick up different stuff. You learn different things along the way. That's where the suit game comes from. My mom, I don't remember the day she used to dress me. She don't give her credit for anything.
Oh, no, you can't give her credit.
I'll give her credit for me not knowing how to dress.
Oh, seriously?
My mom's going to get me after she listens to this. You learn different things along the way, just like my broadcasting career on how to dress.
Right.
I remember a guy came up to me and he was like, oh, no, I don't like that tie. And he told me, you need to wear ties that pop. You need to tie your tie like this. Matter of fact, at the jewelry store, a lady came in. She was like, ooh, I don't like the way you tie that tie. You should tie it like a double Windsor knot.
Mm.
And because she made fun of my tie that day, I went back to YouTube and I was like, I need to learn how to tie the tie better. That's how I learned how to tie a Windsor knot.
Wow. Juan Castillo, speaking with my man Darren Haynes here, man, sportscaster on ESPN. We've been talking about his life, local cat, man. He went to high school at Amity, grew up in Hamden, grew up in Woodbridge. And, again, you know, I can't say enough, man. You know, we're proud of you, brother. You know, we need folks like you for our youth to be able to look at and say, you know what, I can do that. You know, especially from a small town. You know, a lot of people leave their small town and go to New York and whatever. And when they make it, they big up New York, right? You know, but I know.
No, I come back to New Haven.
Yeah, brother.
All the time.
You know, and I've seen that. I've seen that. You
actually,
know?
I want to put that out there. If anybody needs me to speak at their school.
Yes.
Kindergarten all the way up until 12th grade, even if it's at the university, even if it's people in and out of the joint. There's some way that I know that God put me on this earth to inspire people. The teaching is still in me, even though I'm a broadcaster. And this that passion is still, the passion to be a teacher, the passion to help somebody out is still in me. So I'm quick to say yes before I say no. If anybody who knows me, I always say yes, but let me check. I'll never say no, I don't want to do it. Never, never. This community, this city built me, made me who I am. I wasn't born as a sportscaster, so where did I get it from? Where did I get the skills from to be the man I am today? It came from Whaley Avenue. It came from Shelton Ave in the Ville. It came from Woodbridge, Connecticut. It came from my coaches, Hamden and Amity. It came from all those people, my parents. That's how I learned to be the man I am today, so I'll be a fool if I didn't give back to the community.
And, you know, I mean, let me say this. You know, we've been, you know, talking about, you know, your journey, right? And one of the things, you know, we kind of glossed over that a little bit. I want to go back to that, though, right? Your ability and your understanding of how important it was to leave. Not only leave here, but go from one town to the other because that was important to your career. Obviously, relationships become an issue with that, right? Mm-hmm. But talk about that, man, because that's so important.
I feel that your parents, when they raise you, even if it's your guardian, it could be just your mother, they provide you a household. They provide you what you need. And when you grow up, when you become 18 years old, you now need to make their ceiling your floor. And sometimes some of the tools that your family gives you works better in different areas outside the city. Because if we go back to the 90s, back when the internet didn't exist, and maybe that new DJ Clue mixtape came out. There were people in Texas who never even heard of DJ Clue.
Right.
But if I brought that tape to DJ, brought that DJ Clue tape to Houston, Texas, they'd be like, "Oh, I love that," because it's a different style. It's something they're not used to.
Mm.
And bringing my style on what people have taught me inside this city. They thrived on that. They loved that in other cities because it was different. They loved our East Coast accent. It's different. But at the same time, I can say what up, though, because I took that from Detroit.
Mm.
You know, I can go down to San Antonio. I can talk about Texas, and I can talk all days about crawfish boils, crawfish etouffee, because that New Orleans culture was so big because of Katrina.
Right.
So I kind of like, I took a lot of stuff in the community that has molded me into this specimen of all different cultures, and hopping and leaving. That's I can't stress how sometimes important that is. Leaving the city that you grew up with.
The comfort.
Correct. get out of your comfort zone because your blessing may be somewhere else. It may not be where you currently are at the particular time. If I did not leave, if I did not leave New Haven to go to Wayne State, remember, I would have never met Rob Parker.
That's
right.
Never
had my jobs in Michigan. That's right. Who knows where I'll be right now?
Right, right. How did you get to ESPN? I know everybody's waiting for that. How did you get to ESPN?
You have to be patient. You have to work your butt off. But more importantly, you got to have faith in God, man. When I was in Boston, I had a main anchor offer in Dallas, Texas. And I decided to, you know, say, hey, I have an anchor job in Dallas, Texas. And Dallas went through this hiring freeze. And when I went back to Boston, I was like, hey, do you want me to work longer? Because they have the hiring freeze in Dallas. And obviously Boston's like, no, we got to move on to the next person. And so I went through about 6 or 7 months with no job at all while I was waiting for this Dallas position. Gave up my house in Boston. Matter of fact, my dad told me, he was like, why don't you come back home and wait it out? I'm a 30-something-year-old man now sleeping in the twin-size bed that I grew up in at my parents' house. Big-time sports anchor from Boston. Was just anchoring in Boston. And then you're trying to tell me that I kind of went from no job, because that Dallas job, I don't even know if they even filled it yet. You go from no job to your dream job? That's God, man.
Yes.
And you have to have faith in this career. You have to have faith. You may not see the ending of the road. You may not see where you're trying to go, but you know you're going to get there. One of the main things on the best advice that I ever received was that when you're driving, for an example, Juan, when you leave here, you're going to go home. You know you're going to go home, but it's going to come a point in time where you're not going to look behind. You're not going to see WYBC. You're going to look in front of you. You're not going to see your house. But there's detours, there's bumps in your roads, stoplights, things that are going to hold you back, things that may slow you down. But you know for a fact you're going to get home. With my career and anybody who wants to be a SportsCenter anchor, if you know you want to be on ESPN, have faith that you're going to get there and do all the things that you're going to do. Because I've had a lot of people who were alongside me who wanted to be a SportsCenter anchor, but they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the determination. They realized, ooh, I don't know if I can make it there. No negativity lives in my heart. And people have to live the same way, because there's a lot of things out there that will distract you from getting to where you want to be.
That's interesting because, you know, the country is always looking to make itself better. And part of that is to, you know, give our youth the ability to be able to be hopeful, right? And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about if you don't have any hope, if you're not hopeful, then you got nothing. You know, you give up. You know, that's so important, man.
I had a head football coach, Paul Winters, in Wayne State. He says, what the mind can conceive, the body can achieve.
That's great.
And yeah, if you don't see it going anywhere, you're not going to get there.
Right.
You know, people dream for a reason.
Tell me about the phone call when you got the call from ESPN.
Oh,
man.
You want to really talk about that? Listen, I love ESPN a lot, but I'm going to be real on this one. 2007, a guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but he always watches our resume tapes at NABJ, National Association of Black Journalists.
Yes.
And when I gave him my resume tape, I was like, hey, do you think I can work for ESPN one day? And he's like, nah. Now, I don't know if he was saying no for the rest of my life or no at that particular time.
Right.
The way I took it was the rest of my life. Remember what I told you about the jewelry guy?
The jewelry dude.
Oh, don't spark that fire in me.
Right.
So the same guy who called me and offered me the job was the same guy who told me that you're not ready. Talking about going full circle. It was a dream come true. I taped it. I have it on audio recording and video because it was a dream come true. The best way to explain it is, if you have a dream, and everybody dreams of something, and all of a sudden your dream becomes a reality, not a lot of people get a chance to accomplish their dream.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain the feeling, but I wish everybody in this world can understand that feeling, because it was life-changing. Life-changing.
Going to work, but it's not work.
No, not at all.
I understand, believe me.
Yeah, yeah. Not,
right. This sports, I do.
Yeah, SportsCenter is not a job at all. It's literally sitting home at it's a second home, watching games with your boys.
Awesome. Now, I got this question for you. All right. So, you earlier you talked about preparation and, you know, and those meetings, SportsCenter meetings, and discussing what you guys are going to be doing and so forth and so on. Tell me about, do you guys use the teleprompter, and are you going off the top of your head? Is it a combination thereof? What's the deal?
It's a combination. So okay. You will see sometimes a unique lead-in. We're reading off the prompter there. But there are a lot of times we just ad-lib because of the knowledge, because of our preparation, what we have in our head, how much studying we did before we go on. Nobody should really underestimate, and I'm not tooting my own horn, I'm just some of my other co-anchors. We are really good at what we do. A lot of people that I anchor with, I'm like, wow, they're good too.
Right.
That, yes, we may have the prompter for maybe 10% of our show.
Yes.
The rest of it is knowledge based. When we're doing the highlights, that's all us. Yeah, we know Carmelo Anthony knocked down the shot. But when it comes down to as far as in how many points he's averaging per game, as far as in how much the Knicks have been struggling as of late, or if it's Kristaps Porzingis and how tall he is and how well he plays and what year he went in the draft, what round, what number, that stuff, that's all knowledge base. It makes our highlight 10 times better. But what we do at ESPN, we write majority of our stuff.
You write yourself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
They do that on purpose, and I don't blame them because they want us to get out our own personality. If I had a writer who was like, hey, guys, Carmelo Anthony, he did the good shot in the paint. Nah, I'm going to switch it up and be like, yo, Melo doing work in the paint. Give my man a paintbrush. Put my own style on there.
Exactly. That's great.
Yeah, it brings out our style. So we write majority, probably 90% of our stuff we write.
That's awesome. So I'm going to put you on, you know, at the desk now, SportsCenter desk. Got this weekend, you know, you got the
AFC and NFC championship.
Yeah,
games.
Talk to me about it, man. What you think?
Well, the Patriots are playing the best team that can possibly beat them. The Steelers with Antonio Brown and Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell. That's a three-headed monster.
Especially Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he's really made a difference.
Correct. But here's the thing. I've never seen a team execute so well with just mojo blow players than New England Patriots. And I don't see anybody stopping them. I know probably people listening now, they're like, yeah.
Of course.
But they're just that good. I mean, Rob Gronkowski's not even playing, and the Patriots are still dominating people. That is a tough team to stop. Now, on the other side, the NFC Championship, I love the Falcons and what they're doing. They with Julio Jones, they have some outstanding offensive players. But I remember a time back in the day when the Patriots were like undefeated and then the Giants were just hot and beat them in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Actually, they won two of their rings going into the postseason hot.
Right.
The Green Bay Packers are the same way. Ever since they started off the season 4-6 and Aaron Rodgers was like, we're going to run the table, they have not lost. That team is hot. Cowboys were really, really good. The Packers were hot. So if I had to predict, I'm going to think it's going to be Patriots and Packers. Because Green Bay, what Aaron Rodgers is doing is ridiculous right now. It's not really about the receivers getting open. It's about the way he's threading the needle. He's so calm. People were like, oh, is he going to replace Brett Favre? Nobody's thinking about Brett Favre right now.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, because he's that good. Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback. I don't understand why people thought that he was falling off earlier this season.
It's interesting because, you know, when I see him in the pocket, he's like a boxer. You know, he's moving and jabbing and, you know, and I don't see other quarterbacks doing that. I mean, this guy is moving all the time.
It's a mobile guy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, and do you think that he's Jordan-esque?
Ooh, that's a stretch. I mean, you just threw out the best basketball player that.
Do you think he's
Jordan? Like the
as far as football is concerned.
Football is concerned, I would say no.
Okay,
he's got to win some more rings, man.
Okay,
Jordan's got a lot of rings. But he's gonna go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. I would put Tom Brady as more Jordan-like before Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. Okay. I mean, just Tom consistency.
Brady, yeah, Tom Brady doesn't lose.
And the machine.
And he's now like 62 years old.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy, you know, right?
And he's still playing like he's 22.
Yeah.
But I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a great player to go, but to go Jordan wise, no. Yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch. I should say like Karl Malone or something.
We're gonna switch it over to basketball. Now I'm gonna ask you because I'm a Nick fan, Nick for life, right?
God bless your soul, man.
I know, man. Oh man, I'm in trouble, man. I mean, you know,
I've been in trouble since they haven't won a championship since the 70s. Oh, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, well, we gotta stop trying to get players that got health problems. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to grow from the draft. I mean, of course, in New York, it's like every year you gotta put a team out there that has a chance. But it's like, that's all we ever get is a team that has a chance.
I'm not going to give you my opinion sort of right. I'm going to avoid that just in case. So I'm just going to go from other people, some of our analysts,
okay,
what they say. So Carmelo Anthony, they say he's a very like me type of person. He was like that in Denver. And now he's kind of in talks as far as in maybe possibly trading to a different team.
They're talking about it.
Think about Kobe. Love Kobe, but there are a lot of people who didn't want to play with Kobe.
True.
I don't know if Melo's the same way, but if you watch the Golden State Warriors, the way they play team basketball, the way they whooped on the Cavaliers, now it's my opinion. I don't see that out of Carmelo Anthony.
Well, I think, well, let me say this, you know, I think that, and I play ball, mm-hmm. you know, I think that, you know, there's a difference between, okay, you know, the ball comes to me and there's a black hole and everybody else is standing around. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between that and, okay, this ball's going to go around the horn and this ball, we're going to be looking for, for a player who, you know, who's open and everybody's going to keep moving, right? I mean, yep. No matter how many years basketball's been around.
You're saying you see that with the Knicks?
No, I'm saying I don't see that with the Knicks.
Oh, of course you don't see
and
that
I
with
think,
the Knicks.
And I think that now what I'm saying this is that I truly believe that Carmelo can play that way, right? I think, now let me say this. I think that he's never had a coach, even in college. In college, you can get away with that, right? Mm-hmm. You can get it to your best player and it's a black hole and you can win a championship, which he did,
yeah.
Right? But in the pros, that ain't going to happen, right? So he's never had a coach that said, okay, you know what? This ball's going to go around the horn. You know, despite the fact that you're a great one-on-one player, right? You know, you're going to pass the ball and you're going to, most important, move without the ball. Carmelo has never moved without the ball in his whole career.
Oh, he can't move without the ball because he has the ball. but I will say this. Carmelo did have one, he had one coach that told him to pass the ball, to move around. And his name was Jim Boeheim.
Yeah.
And what happened when he was with Jim Boeheim? They won a national title.
Yes.
Listen, the Knicks have some great pieces. But look at back in the past when they were really, really good. If Jordan wasn't around, we would have won a lot more championships. But the way that when it was Charles Oakley, Patrick Ewing, when John Starks decided he wanted to play well, you know, that those guys, they play team basketball. Team basketball. It wasn't always, let me give the ball to Patrick Ewing.
That's right.
And have him do that little turnaround J he always does.
The ball went around the
horn. Yeah, the ball went around.
Absolutely.
Team basketball.
So, Westbrook.
He's a triple double machine.
I mean, can he win a championship that way?
No, not with the pieces he has around him. You see how well he's doing with his triple doubles now in the 20s a season. But the problem is he's Superman and doesn't have a Robin. Matter if he was Robin when Kevin Durant was there. If you look at their record wise, you know, they're a good ball club, but they're not one of the best teams in the West like they were when Kevin Durant was there. The Spurs right. and the Warriors dominate. Russell Westbrook, the year when Kevin Durant was injured most of the season, the year he won the scoring champ title, they didn't make the playoffs that year.
Right.
So Russell Westbrook is a great player. I'll take him on my team any day. But there's no I in team, and Russell Westbrook can't do everything by himself.
Finals, Cavaliers, and Golden State again?
Well, Cavaliers have an easy path. I mean, the Raptors are playing really well, but I don't think anybody can really compete with the Cavs in the Eastern Conference. Western Conference, that's a different ballgame. It's been that way for a long time.
Quite a few teams.
For some reason, the Spurs are like the Patriots. They're just always good, always at the top.
Don't sleep on Memphis.
Very, very true. Memphis beat Golden State.
Exactly.
So the road to get there is a little bit different. The percentage, of course, is all in favor of Golden State making the finals again for a rematch. It will be the third finals that we had in a row that we had the Warriors and Cavs. So I think they're both are going to make it there. It's just the path is just a little bit more difficult for the Warriors. I mean, remember last year? What was it? I don't know, about a minute or seconds away from the Thunder knocking the Warriors off?
Warriors lose to the Cavaliers. Kevin Durant.
I don't think the Warriors are going to lose to the Cavs in the finals this year.
Kevin Durant's, you know, legacy, question mark, I think.
If the Warriors win a title?
If they lose.
Oh, if they lose. Oh, gosh. If Kevin Durant loses, listen, he calls his mom his MVP.
A lot of pressure on him.
He better go home and get a hug from mom. Yeah, because when you leave a team like the Thunder that was literally seconds away from knocking off the Warriors, and you join the team that you lost to that made the finals, that should have won the finals because they were up 3-0. They were up 3-0. I believe it was 3-0, whatever.
Yeah, it was 3-0, yeah.
You better win a title because the Warriors should be better when you add a superstar like Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
I just don't think they're going to lose.
Yeah. Juan Castillo, man, this is the electric drum. Darren Haynes, has been a pleasure, brother. You got to come back after when the playoffs start. You got to come back and talk about the playoffs, man. You know what I mean?
I'll come back.
You know,
listen, I'm about to go to my parents' house right now and see what they have in the refrigerator. So I'm down here. I'm down here all the time. I get my haircut still down here.
Before you leave, you know, young man comes up to you, says, "Hey, man, I love what you do. What do I have to do, man? How do I get to where you are?"
Don't listen to anybody who tells you can't do anything.
Mm.
But the best advice, Bill Gonello, he used to work for News 12, Connecticut Sports, passed away back in 07. My first mentor, and he told me the best way to learn how to do something is by doing it. And there are a lot of people who want to do something, but they don't put themselves in position to do it. Once you do it, you as a radio guy, you probably were like, "Give me the mic, I want to do it." But you get so much better when you continue to do it.
Yes.
So I the best advice I ever received is do it. Do it. And don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it.
So those early years at UNH and all those shows, all that.
Yes. But still the foundation goes way before that.
Mm.
What do you mean I can't score a touchdown and pop Warner? All right, I'll score two. We used to joke about that.
Right.
We used to joke, "Well, how many touchdowns are you going to score?" I'll score two. No, they're like, "Darren, how many touchdowns are you going to score?" And then they'll tell me, "Why don't you score two?" I was like, "Why not three?" "Okay, why don't you get three?" "Well, why not four?" Don't limit me. Like,
right.
if you think I'm going to do three, I'm going to try to do four.
Darren Haynes, man, thank you for coming, brother.
Thank you so much.
Again, man, we are so proud of you, man, and we'll see you on SportsCenter, brother.
I appreciate it.
Juan Castillo with you. This is Electric Drum. I'm quite sure you've been inspired. I have. We will see you next week right here on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city.